The section of scripture that we're going to read and talk about today is in 1 Timothy chapter 1. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 12 through 17. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, and let's read together. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now Paul, as he does in most of his epistles, says that he is thankful. In verse 12, he said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." Here, he is thankful for the honor of being a minister. He says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord because he enabled me, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now, Paul was thankful for many things in his letters, but here, he's thankful that he is a preacher and a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's thankful because Jesus enabled him. Jesus providentially and miraculously, by his power and by his mercy, enabled Paul to be a minister. Jesus counted Paul, he considered Paul to be faithful. Now that means that he considered Paul to be a reliable man, a trustworthy man, a man that he could depend on for this work. And the work of being an apostle was a special work. Jesus couldn't just pick out anybody for that work. He needed a reliable, trustworthy man. And that's what the word faithful means. Now, Paul was not arrogant about this honor. He was humble and he was thankful. And out of all the reasons that he had for being thankful to God, there was one that stood out. And that begins in verse 13. Paul was very grateful because he had been very sinful and God had forgiven him. Now, that should make anybody thankful, and Paul was very thankful because of that. Remember the story of the sinful woman who cried at Jesus' feet? Do you remember what Jesus said about that woman? He said, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Luke 7, verse 47. Now, Paul had sinned greatly. He had sinned in many different ways against these Christians. And when Paul was forgiven, he really appreciated it. He never forgot it. He never forgot what he had done and how unworthy he was and how that God, in spite of his sins, had still forgiven him. Here are some other verses where Paul talks about his sinfulness before he was converted. He said in Acts 22, verse 4, "I persecuted this way," that is the Christian way, the church, "I persecuted this way unto the death," that is to the point of death, to the point of putting these Christians to death, "binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." That's Acts 22, verse 4. Then in Acts 26, verses 10 and 11, Paul was before Agrippa, and here's what he said. "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." That's Acts 26, verses 10 and 11. And in the book of Galatians, Galatians 1 verse 13, Paul said, "Beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, the passage that we're looking at, Paul uses three words to describe what he had done. Now, this is his life before he was converted. This is his life before he was baptized. He says, first of all, "I was a blasphemer." Now, a blasphemer is someone who speaks evil. It's someone who speaks evil of another person. That is, he speaks evil of a man or of people, or he speaks evil of God. It can be either one. The Bible uses that word in both ways. So a blasphemer is not just somebody who speaks evil of God. A blasphemer, according to the New Testament, is also somebody that speaks evil of a man or of people. Now, Paul did both because he spoke evil of the church. He spoke evil of Christians because he believed and he said that these Christians were heretics who ought to be killed. And he spoke evil of Jesus. You see, Jesus was God. But Paul, before he was converted, thought Jesus was a fake. He thought Jesus of Nazareth was an imposter. He didn't believe that he was the Messiah. And so he spoke evil of Jesus, and by speaking evil of Jesus, he spoke evil of God. He was a blasphemer. The second word that he uses is the word persecutor. He was out to get rid of Christians. He was out to put an end to this sect or this cult that had started with this man, Jesus of Nazareth. That's how he looked at the church. And then the third word that Paul uses to describe himself before he was a Christian is the word injurious in the King James Version. Now, this word is not just or even so much a word that describes injuring people physically. But it's mostly the attitude of a person who has no use for them. A person who is injurious, as Paul says he was in the King James Version, or the word insolent, as you find it in the New King James Version and in other versions. A person who is injurious or insolent is a person who can be arrogant toward those people that he's against. He can use insulting words about them. He can scoff at them. He can treat them as if they are dirt. He can treat them in a shameful way. All of those ideas are involved in the idea of an injurious person or an insolent person. Now, the bottom line is that when Paul says that he was an injurious person, that means overall that he looked at Christians as trash. He looked at Christians as scum. And that's fascinating. Because when you look at everything that the Bible is talking about here, when you look at what Paul says about himself before he was converted, "I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and I was injurious or insolent toward these Christians," it's interesting to see how that in the New Testament, after Paul was converted, he received this same kind of treatment from those Jews. They blasphemed him, they persecuted him, and they were insolent toward him. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13, that Christians, and especially those apostles, were considered to be the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things to this day. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, that's his life before he was converted. The good news, of course, is that he was forgiven. The Bible tells us in verse 13 that he said, "But I obtained mercy." Paul was forgiven. Now, there are many great stories of forgiveness in the Bible. David's story is a great story of forgiveness. Here's a man who committed adultery. Here's a man who committed murder, and yet God forgave him, 2 Samuel 12. King Manasseh is probably a less known story about forgiveness, but one of the great examples of forgiveness in the Bible is King Manasseh, 2 Kings 21 and 2 Chronicles 33. The Corinthians that Paul had baptized after he taught them the gospel are a great example of forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. And of course, who could forget the Apostle Peter, who denied the Lord three times, and yet he was forgiven. Paul ranks up there as one of the greatest stories of forgiveness in history. Now, let's ask a question about his forgiveness, though. When did Paul obtain mercy? How did Paul obtain mercy? Did God just forgive Paul without Paul's responding to God in any way? Or did Paul have to do anything in order to be forgiven? Well, we know that he had to believe, because God was not going to forgive him if Paul didn't even believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." John 8:24. We know that Paul had to change his mind. He could not go on believing that Jesus was a fake and be saved in the sight of God. He had to repent of that. And so repentance was necessary. He had to repent. He had to change his mind. And of course, he had to be baptized, because the Bible tells us in Acts 22:16 that Ananias told Paul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." What sins? Well, all of his past sins, and especially the sins that you're looking at here in verse 13. His blaspheming these Christians, his persecuting these Christians, and his being an insolent person toward these children of God. Now, in verse 13, he adds a very interesting comment. He said, "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now, when he uses the word ignorantly here, that's in contrast to doing these things intentionally with the full awareness of the truth. Paul didn't do that. As a matter of fact, in Acts 23, verse 1, Paul said that he had done these things in all good conscience. Now, had Paul deliberately gone against his conscience while he did these things, as he persecuted these Christians, he would have been too hardened in his heart to have repented. Then in verse 14, Paul said that God's grace was over and above what we would usually expect it to cover. It was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 15, we have one of those famous sayings of Paul. This is a faithful saying, that is, it is reliable always and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, of whom I am foremost. Paul put himself at the top of the list as far as sinners were concerned. In his mind, he was the worst. He said, "I am chief." Now, he's speaking of what he did before. Remember that in verse 13. He said, "I was before," that is, before he was converted, "a blasphemer and a persecutor," and so forth. So, in verse 15, when Paul says, "I am chief of sinners," he's using the present tense, because the memory of what he had done was still present. Now, in verse 16, Paul shows that his forgiveness is an example for all people of all times. He says that it is a pattern for generations after him. He says in verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." Now, the word "first" here does not mean first in terms of time. Paul was not the first one that was converted. The word "first" there means first in importance, first in severity. Paul was at the top of the list, or first in terms of the severity of the sins that he'd committed. And Paul said this happened for a pattern, that is, for an example for people to look at, to them which should hereafter, that is, after Paul, should believe on him to life everlasting. So what Paul is saying here is that if God forgave him, he can forgive us. Because no matter how bad your sins are, they cannot compare to the sins that Paul says he committed before he was a Christian.